Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio, where we'll talk about news, education, and opportunities for small businesses on the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street and in Washington, D.C. I'm Michelle Yancey.
And I'm Kyle Todd. Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Rhode Island Avenue Radio. Hello, Michelle.
Hey, Kyle. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well.
Enjoying the cooler weather?
I am.
We're not going to jinx it.
That's right.
But it's good stuff.
It is.
So, a couple of great guests today, food-related. Second guest is food-related. The first guest is fitness-related.
Yes.
To balance out the food-related.
Yes.
So before we get started on that, quick shout out to our sponsors, the Department of Small and Local Business Development and the Department of Housing and Community Development. It is through their grant dollars that we are able to create and produce and bring you this show, Rhode Island Avenue Radio, and provide assistance to small businesses up and down the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street corridor. If you or your business are interested in being a sponsor for Rhode Island Avenue Radio for an episode or two or ten, give me a shout. My email is kyle@riamainstreet.org. Be happy to help have you join us as a sponsor. And Michelle, we are just a couple of weeks away from Fall Fest.
Yes, I'm excited about that.
Very excited. We've got some great entertainment lined up. The mayor will be joining us to make some opening remarks at Fall Fest.
Very good.
Mayor Bowser and, of course, Councilmember McDuffie. And lots of good Rhode Island Avenue businesses have signed up to be vendors. I think we're going to be... I think everybody's going to be really happy.
I think so, too.
And the weather's going to hold out.
It's going to get bigger and better every year, as it has.
As it has. This is our fifth year for doing this.
Yep.
Cannot believe it. The first year, for those of you who remember the very first year that we did this, we decided about 3 weeks.
I was going to say about 3 weeks.
before we had the event. And we had no money. We literally did it with $30 in the bank and just asked a bunch of nonprofits and local businesses to show up with card tables and paraphernalia.
And they did.
And it was great. And there were more people on the sidewalk on Rhode Island Avenue on a Saturday than there had been in probably a dozen years. So it just keeps growing. We're really excited about it this year. The biggest one so far. And it's just going to keep getting better. But I'm going to stop talking about that now. We'll talk about it a lot more next week. Okay, and now we're joined by Philip from Good Food Market. Philip, how you doing today?
Good, Kyle. How are you and Michelle today?
We're doing fine. We're
doing great. Yeah.
We're glad to have a break from the heat.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
I'm glad.
Yep.
Yeah. I wore a long-sleeve shirt out of doors this morning, and it was comfortable.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Clothes.
What a concept.
Scares away the cool weather.
So, oh, really?
Yes, it's a well-known scientific fact.
Uh-huh.
So what's new at the market this week?
Well, this week at the market, we've got... Well, actually, I wanted to talk with you about something we've got coming up on Saturday, the 24th, with Knowledge Commons DC. And for those of your listeners who aren't familiar, Knowledge Commons is... they describe themselves as a free school for thinkers, doers, and tinkerers, taught anywhere by anyone or everyone. And this is an all-volunteer run floating school where they visit sites or they have, experts in their field give presentations or tours, discussions, demonstrations. They do a lot with urban ag and sort of home growing lessons and canning and jarring.
Yeah,
we know them. We've had them on the show before.
For listeners, go back a few episodes and tune in because it was a great interview, and they do have classes on
for
everything.
Yeah.
I think
everything and all the time because it's all volunteer-led. They're doing stuff almost every day of the week when they're, up at full speed. It's really amazing. And our produce manager, Casey, has also led classes with them, and Christopher and I did a class about retail and food deserts last year. Knowledge Commons with an S, DC.org is their website. And we're going to do a tour of Good Food Markets on to Saturday, September 24th. And we'll, you know, give a behind-the-scenes glimpse of the inner workings of the store, as well as sort of discuss our overall model for developing retail solutions in food deserts and how Good Food Markets and Oasis Community Partners work together to sort of provide a holistic health and wellness environment within food deserts. So it should be really fun. The last class we did was a great group of people, fantastic discussion afterwards. You know, there's been so much made of this issue. There's a lot of really intelligent people who've been exposed to the information, and it's really compelling. You know, we have in the district, 4 out of our 8 wards have obesity rates over 25%. And those are 5, 6, 7, and 8. You know, over in Ward 3, it's less than 1%. So there's real impact on the day-to-day lives, health, economic vitality of a huge portion of D.C., because they're burdened with health disparities that at their root are really about diet, nutrition, exercise, and the ability to, you know, have the time as well as the money and knowledge to prepare healthful meals at home. That's a huge advantage. The more meals per week you prepare at home, lessens your chance of developing diet-related diseases like heart disease, obesity, diabetes, et cetera. So, you know, that's really at the core of what we do, and we always get very unique and insightful perspectives when speaking directly with people about their personal experiences. So I think it'll be a great time. We'll probably end out on the patio, enjoy a nice cool beverage in the sun. So, again, that's Saturday, September 24th, starting at 2 p.m. at the store. So hope you can register online at knowledgecommonsdc.org. And we hope anyone who's interested comes on out.
Yeah, that'll be the first day of Fall Fest week. So you're helping kick off Fall Fest week for us, Philip.
Hey, that's great. We're so excited about Fall Fest this year. We're going to also be doing something on Wednesday before Fall Fest. Also, the Woodridge Public Library is doing their grand opening on October 1st. So I think it's going to be a great day all up and down Rhode Island Avenue.
It will be. It will be. So before we let you go, fall produce
coming in. So we saw, the first broccoli this week, and it's already getting bigger. The second delivery was bigger than the first. So that's always a good sign. You know, we had that weird winter, and so a lot of the early fruit, wasn't there, in the quantities we're used to seeing, but once we start to see broccoli, we'll get cauliflowers, we'll have butternut squash is just starting to come in, and the hard squashes will be in full bore in a couple weeks. So we're just sort of biding our time, enjoying the pears and the apples and the kale and the collards. Berries will be coming in soon, but yeah, look for hard squashes and stocky veg coming in over the next couple weeks.
All right, great. Philip, for listeners new to this project and concept, where can they find you?
You can find us on the web at goodfoodmarkets.com or on Twitter at goodfooddc. We're at 2006 Rhode Island Avenue, the corner of 20th Street Northeast. If you have any questions, give us a call, 202-248-8494.
Great. Thanks, Philip. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Kyle. Take care. Bye, Michelle.
Bye.
Now, Michelle, you have a great guest visiting you.
Yes, we have Michaela Brown Jones from the P-Spot Fitness that's located right here on Rhode Island Avenue. Welcome, Michaela. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so appreciative of this opportunity. This is great.
Well, for our listeners that don't know, please let them know about the P-Spot, which, sure, in full disclosure, is a all-female adult fitness studio that features pole dancing as one of its specialty classes.
Sure. I'm going to qualify your statement and also Kyle's. We are very much foodies. Ah. So we aim to be a one-stop shop for everything fitness from the inside out. So, of course, that starts with what you put in your body. And then ultimately, we want you to be able to look good naked. So we address it also from in the classroom. So with the piece...
Can I interrupt? I love that you say that because that is what fitness is about, looking good.
Yeah, no matter what your weight...
No matter what you're wearing.
What calories also, in and out, yeah. at the most basic level, it's about I want to feel good and look good naked.
Right.
That's it.
And be healthy, but everyone wants to look good.
Yeah, but I think people would... be okay not being healthy if
I
they
agree.
Could
as
also
long
look,
as they look good.
No, that's the real me coming out. But yeah, so essentially we are women's only as far as our fitness classes, but we do offer some services where meals are included. Let's start with the big part. So our main program is called Exotarobics. It's a trademark of the company, and essentially it's where we turn sexy dance formats into exercise. The main goal of that is to trick women into working out. as a personal trainer for over 13 years, and just as a fitness seeker myself, I understand all too well how easily it is to throw your fitness aside. So as soon as the weather gets cold, as soon as you're too tired, as soon as the kids get up and they need things, literally the first thing to go out the door is your fitness. And so for me, it's always been creating a space where women can turn their affinities, their hobbies into working out so that they're more likely to do it long term, right? Mm-hmm. So what we do with our pole fitness class or our chair play class is play on that undying need to feel sexy and to be and to be one with your body, and use that as a way of getting the workout in. So some women may come to us for the purpose of learning a few moves around the pole, or again, we have people that work in the White House. They might be cooped up in a blue suit all day, and they don't have any opportunity that entire day or week or month to let their hair out and feel good. It's that one opportunity to do that and also burn tons of calories and also join with like-minded women all wanting to be healthy and happy. So that's what we are at our core. That's what we do on a daily basis, Monday through Saturday. We rest on the Sabbath sometimes. And so that's where we start. We go into other services such as private parties. So we get anywhere from 2 to 5 groups of people celebrating bachelorettes or birthdays or just girls' day out that forget the fitness, they just want to feel sexy. So we have private group lessons for them. One of my favorite aspects of the business is our Eat Like a Queen nutrition workshop, which is awesome because it's actually going to coincide with Fall Fest. And essentially what we do is we tackle real diet issues for real women who really don't know how to really tackle food input, and we break it down in layman's terms. So I talk to people about not always changing what you eat, but upgrading the quality. Eat like a queen, right? Don't eat peasant food. Eat like a queen. The way you shop for bags and the best shoes,
and
the way you try to get your kids in the best schools, and all those things that we're willing to put time, energy, and money into, let's focus that attention on our food, right? Because just even the most motivated fitness seeker is only going to work out, what, once a day? And that's motivated, right? You eat anywhere from 3 to 5 times a day. So that's that many more times a day that you get to affect your calorie intake and outtake and affect the way you look good naked. So it's one of my favorite, you know, things, because it's everything is life-changing what we do, I feel. But that, when you see that light bulb go off in people, when you talk to them about upgrading the quality of their food, it's awesome. So we actually have that coming up on Sunday. I told you some Sundays we work. Sunday the 25th, it starts with a seminar at our studio. We then move into either a farmer's market or a major organic market. And then I show them actually how to put those techniques and those ideas that I've talked about earlier in the day, how to actually put that into action, what to look for in the labels, how to decipher even in farmers markets or organic markets, the different classes and layers of food, how to become an educated consumer about food.
Oh, so you need to take your classes down to Good Food Market.
Yeah, sounds like
It was so awesome to hear that, because I don't know if you saw me taking notes. I was definitely, we're definitely.
Yeah. Collaboration on the avenue.
It's awesome. Yep. So yeah, that's who we are.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your pole dancing. I know that's not the only thing that you all do. I know historically it's been associated with exotic dancing, but over the last few years, it has really become a fitness craze. Mm-hmm. What level of fitness is required? What part of the body is worked?
Sure.
For each class.
For our classes, we are really a fitness-first facility. So the answer for our studio is not going to necessarily be the same for other studios. But for our studio, we take people of all fitness level, because to us, there's just two classes of individuals, in shape, out of shape.
Right.
And as a personal trainer, I pride myself on putting everybody in the out of shape category, because no matter how in shape you think you are, you're not going to beat me in class, right?
That sounds like competition.
So, with that said, no matter where you line up on the spectrum, you're going to be in my out of shape category. I mean, it's funny. I have my personal trainers that come to my class, and even though they can do what they do extremely well, they can't do what I do, right?
And it is different.
It's
running
a different
is different. Lifting weights is different.
Of course, it's a different recruitment of muscles. Even someone who can do a lot of push-ups or pull-ups, in order for you to pull yourself up on the pole, it's a different recruitment of muscles. And so my class exposes that. So to answer your question, all of our exotic fitness classes are for people of all levels. And I say that not to sound cliched. It really is the case. So in a given class, you will see old, young, in shape, out of shape, have experience, not have experience, feeling clumsy, feeling diva. They're
overweight.
Overweight, underweight, feel like they're in the greatest shape, all encountering struggles throughout class on their own. You have some people that feel confident, some people who don't. And I think it's a motivational thing, you know, the power of numbers. It's a motivational thing for someone who considers themselves overweight to see the skinny mini in the corner also panning and puffing,
right?
Because she starts to strip away that layer, like, okay, well, if she's struggling, then maybe, you know, I can continue. Or to see people defying odds, to see someone who's a lot older than you getting through each rep, each set, focused, and you're not.
Right.
So it's an awesome thing. So our approach is to have the same stimulus, to really teach the same class, no matter what your experience level is, no matter what your weight level is. And it's been a huge success. I mean, we were the first studio in DC in 2006. And we've been able to be here, stay here. We've had tons of competitors come up since then, and still our brand is unmatched as far as really giving that equal balance of, you know, sensuality, but also fitness. And if anything, fitness first, and then as a happy side effect, the sensuality.
About how many people are in each class?
We limit it to one person per pole. So our studio houses 14 poles. One is for the instructor. So our pole fitness class in particular will limit to 13. Saturdays tend to be our busiest day. During the week, our classes are in the evening. So depending on the season, of course, come December, January, everyone's New Year's resolution.
Yes, yes.
And so we are
the
very
New Year's
packed.
Folks.
Actually, from January through May. So January, of course, that's New Year's. February, that's Valentine's season. People, again,
right,
wanting to look good naked, right? March, April, May, that's the beginning of bachelorette season, bridal season,
mm-hmm,
right? A lot of people get married in June, July, August. So we start to see things get really packed there. But as far as on a class-to-class basis, the pole fitness classes and also the chair play classes limit to 13. Our twerk class, 20. Our bedroom body, which is like a sexy Pilates class, and our sensual stretch, which is a flexibility class, limits at 10. So we pack as much as we can in, but we want everyone to have the space to be all they can be.
Okay. What kind of memberships are offered? Do you pay by the class or do you pay by the month?
Yeah, so we try to be the anti-gym in look, shape, and form, right? And so as a trainer in a gym, I realized that when people would make these monthly investments ahead of time, they had no sense of accountability. Or if I miss this class, what does that equate to? Is this worth a $20 nap? Like, is this a $20 nap, right? So what we do is we mostly have per class rates, which are $20 per class, but we also offer bundles at a per class rate, right? So we have a 5-class pass, which you have a month to use, but it's still 5 individual classes for $65. We do a 10-class pass for $120, and then we do a 20-class pass for $220. So depending on your personal schedule, how many times you realistically feel like or want to attend the studio, you can buy a package based on that. For the people who have really up and down schedules and you don't want to run the risk of losing classes, you'll know that, and so you'll pay per class. But yes, as soon as you start bundling classes, the prices dramatically drop from 20 to 13, 12, 10.
Okay. And the bigger packages you can use over a longer period of time.
Yes, so the 5-class pass spans a month, the 10-class pass spans 2 months, and the 20-class pass spans 3 months. Okay. And so you could use that for in any mixture of classes. So you could stick to the same class, or you can mix and match. It doesn't limit the day. So some people finish their package in a week.
Well, I was going to
ask
that.
You could come. Some people finish it over a course of a few days because we offer 2 to 3 classes a day. So you'll find that in the beginning, when people don't want to make a huge investment, they may start with a 5-class package and then stay for 2 classes on a couple of days and then come back the weekend. So how you utilize it, again, there's a bit of autonomy that you as a fitness seeker need to have about your fitness, right? So I've never been the one that really pushed or deeply solicited fitness seekers, because once you start a fitness relationship on that point, you're always trying to convince someone to work out, right? So I like to give people options that work for them and then allow them to come to me, right? And once they come to me, they can trust that I'm going to make it worth their while and their money. So yeah.
What about since you have 13 chairs or 13 mm-hmm. poles, mm-hmm. is it first come, first serve?
Everyone mostly registers online where you can see availability. We do have walk-ins as well, but online, you're not only able
you're
to
guaranteed
see,
your spot.
Yes, if you pay for a class, that is your spot. Non-negotiated. Also, we have walk-ins, so you could potentially, if you don't have access to the internet, you could come to our studio, pay for a class in advance or on the same day, and by the time we're receiving your money, it's confirmed that that space is open and that's yours. And we have a 24-hour cancellation policy, so it's yours until you cancel. So,
what about recommended class attire?
So each class
sounds like tennis shoes for these classes.
Yeah. So. The majority, so our pole fitness, our chair play, and our strip aerobics classes, we highly recommend the high heel shoes. And we don't allow any outside shoes for safety, and also just for 9 West shoes are not made for fitness, right? So we recommend high heel shoes. We rent them on a $10 a day basis, or you can purchase your own from our studio for $60 and continue to bring those back. That's not required. That's not mandatory. And we even don't aggressively push that, because we want people to just attend. So if you choose not to work out in the platform stilettos, you can always conduct class in sneakers or barefoot. So that's for those 3 classes: pole fitness, chair play, and strip aerobics. Sensual stretch, bedroom body, and twerk, sneakers or barefoot is recommended. Just the sheer virtue of what we're doing. It's too hazardous to twerk around the world in high heel shoes.
I can imagine.
So that, and as far as clothing, for the pole classes, the pole class really is the one where we guide people the most, because certain pole classes, you'll want to expose more skin. Your skin is a natural grip to the pole. So for that, we recommend bottoms that you could expose more skin, right? So that would be shorts, or that could be yoga pants that you could roll up and expose your legs when you wanted to. Other than that, clothes that you feel comfortable moving around in and sweating in.
Okay.
That's the only real requirement. And to some extent, feeling sexy in, right? It's amazing to see that real nervous person coming on her first day, and she has 3 layers on and a hoodie and sneakers. And then 2 weeks later, she has like 2 pair of shoes with a spaghetti strap and boy shorts. You're like, wait a minute.
Are you
the same person? Yeah, I just met you 2 weeks ago, you know, so... Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. So how did you get involved in fitness and in dance?
Sure. I've danced my entire life. My mom, I think I inherited it from my mom, but I've been teaching dance since an 11-year-old. I wound up going away to private school, and they did not have an urban dance aspect to them. And so I was pegged as a student to actually teach in a lot of capacities there. So that's where my choreography came from, just doing it and performing in school plays and recitals. I played sports my entire life, but it wasn't until I went away to that private school that I picked up field hockey by accident. And it turned out to be my sport, ironically. I mean, I grew up playing basketball, tennis, skating, all those things. But the sport that you would never see in the Bronx, which is where I'm from, that's the sport that wound up being so fluid to me. So the coaching and the teamwork and the group dynamic and the joining of women, I think that is where that really came from in high school. And then I went on to become the first African-American woman to play field hockey at Georgetown and to be the captain of that team. And so looking back now, I can see how all these moments were culminating into this. And so right after graduating, I noticed that my personal fat jeans were coming out, right? So
I know about without, those fat jeans.
Without scheduled and mandatory practices that someone else had created for me, and the same eating habits, right? Mind you, in college, where you're not being responsible.
Right.
Yeah, pow, pow, hips, top, all of that. So the vanity in me came out, and I was like, look, the haters are watching. I can't, you know. So I actually became a personal trainer as a way to get a free gym membership. And again, all the stars just kind of aligned. At that time, Washington Sports Club was just opening up a lot of facilities. That particular location had no trainers on staff. And the manager really just hired me off my fitness, my sports experience, and my personality. Through that experience, I was able to do tons of on-the-job training and certifying. So through that experience, starting as a floor trainer, I took advantage of every certification that the company offered me. I picked up clients, all of that. So a lot of my fitness education actually came from that first experience, the vain experience where I just wanted to work out. So again, as a personal trainer, well, in my view, a good personal trainer is not spending that hour training themselves. They are training their student. So I naturally gravitated toward group exercise after a few years because more people, right? But also I got an opportunity to work out myself while administering working out. What was natural to me was hip hop dance. So again, having full autonomy over the type of classes that I could teach, I meshed my dance experience with now my fitness experience and started circulating a hip hop dance aerobics program around that company. So I would travel to different locations and teach that. Got a really good following. And that's where the whole dance fitness thing started for me. Soon after that, pole dancing just started breaking out. Yeah, really Oprah does. Had it on her show, you know, once Oprah co-signs. Yeah. So she had this actor come on who was starting this business, and I was so interested in it from a consumer's perspective. There was nothing like that here. I never even thought of pole dancing as acceptable, you know. It kind of wasn't until it was. You know, the Chris Rock joke, you know, your whole goal is to keep your daughter off the pole. Like, yeah. Right. So that's right. Always been in my mind, right? And so when this came out, I was so excited about it. But unfortunately, there were no studios here and there weren't very many videos out there. So the few that I purchased, I felt like they missed someone like me who really wanted to tackle this from a fitness perspective. So it was more about.
It does sound like yours is very fitness.
It is. I'm a trainer, right? So I've probably gone to 2 pole dancing or strip clubs ever in my life. Like at my core, my passion is about women working out and what's the best way to accomplish that. And out of all the formats that I've tried, this is the one that has had the most staying power. Aside from the fact that I just like doing it, right?
And it sounds like it works your entire body.
Your entire body. I mean, in order for you to maintain your body weight, and even if you're 100 pounds, let's think about how light 100 pounds is for an adult. That's still 100 pounds that you're trying to lift against gravity. So in order for you to do that, you have to activate your core and your glutes, and you have to, you know, use your arms. And we pretty much force people to expose their weaknesses. So we always get people that say, oh, I have no upper body strength. And I say, that's why you come. It's thoughtless. You don't have to worry about working your upper body. You just show up. And if you follow what I'm telling you, you will work it without knowing. So yeah, I'm a mother of 2 kids. I have a 2 and he just turned 4, 4-year-old. And so what the P-Spot is for my students, it is for me as well. I look forward to coming to work and getting out of it what it gives to other people. So yeah, once Oprah signed off on it and there was nothing here and I felt like what was out there was not available for me in this space, then I just...
You created it.
Yeah, jump of faith, and I think I remixed it. And I think, again, what has given us the staying power is the fact that we're not getting people that just want to drop in and have a pole dancing experience. Fitness is a daily battle. It's a daily undergoing. And so because we tackle people's need to stay in shape and to feel sexy, which is undying, that's not a fad. Women always feel that way. I think that we get more residual customers and customers that stick around for a long time, and there's always a need to serve. We're not going out of business because those emotions and those feelings about self-image and about health don't go out of style. So
for our listeners that want to find out more about the Peace Spot and find you,
sure,
where would they look?
Our website is very easy. It's bringitupsexy.com. That's our motto. It means when life hands you lemons, you act like that was a part of the show and you bring it up sexy and you carry it with poise and confidence. So you'll hear that a lot when you come to the studio, but the website is bringitupsexy.com. We're located at 617 Rhode Island Avenue Northeast. We are storefront. We are very metro accessible and our phone number is 202-269-0959. And we are just so excited to meet all of our neighbors that we haven't so far.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Michaela, for coming in and telling us about the Peace Spot. Kyle, I won't say anything about how quiet you've been this hour.
But you know, I'm still thinking about, you know, the earlier discussion about, you know, having quality food. And I would just like to point out that I get the best ice cream and beer that there is.
You have quality ice cream.
I'm eating like a king.
Okay,
yes.
Very good. Well,
that's all I
thank you.
You're very welcome.
We are now joined by Nate Blodgett from District Spice. Welcome, Nate.
Good morning, D.C.
Wow.
Wow. All of
somebody's
DC.
Been sniffing the spice already.
Yes.
Been up since 4:30, so I'm ready.
All right, Nate. So, Nate, District Spice, you have brought an array of your spice blends here. Michelle is opening single one.
If I don't talk, it's because I'm sniffing all of these wonderful delights. And I'm getting hungry now.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Wait till I start talking about the recipes.
Oh, yeah. So, all right, let's get started here, Nate. You are based on Rhode Island and 4th Street.
We are.
This is your production facility, not necessarily a walk-in facility. Let's talk about District Spice. How did you get started?
Back in 2006, I just got out of college, and I was trying to replicate a seafood recipe from one of my favorite New Orleans-style eateries in Southern California, and I found a can of Creole at the store. When I went to put it into my seafood broth, it was just all white. It was just all salt. And I went, that's not what I was looking for. That's not Creole. So I started researching all the traditional blends that you would find out in New Orleans, and I crafted my own. Now, I will say with our Creole seasoning, we do put the cayenne in there because unlike in New Orleans, not too many people at home have cayenne sitting on their table next to their salt and pepper.
I do, but...
Oh, there we go. But you are one of the few exceptions.
I like spicy, though, so...
I just started making them for myself. I mean, everything you pretty much see here has been a spice that we made for ourselves and or friends, like the taco we did for friends who were doing dip surfaces over in Japan, and we asked them what they missed the most, and they said, we can't get a decent taco out here. So I said, okay, well, I'll tell you what, you go ahead and get the protein, I'll make you up some seasoning, and I'll send it your way. Their kids loved it, they loved it. Eventually in 2014, we had enough family and friends that prompted us and said, hey, you should make a business out of it. So we said, yeah. And we didn't know really where to start. We started with trying to get a hold of businesses, restaurants that wouldn't have hours, say, on Monday, so we could get in there and do all our production. Ultimately, we found the concept of a food incubator and started out. And
so you were at Union Kitchen?
Yeah, we started out at Union Kitchen, and that put us light years ahead of where we would have been had we just done it all
from
square
home,
one,
can you imagine?
Just by ourselves.
Yeah.
You can't even do it from home.
Oh, wow.
You
okay.
have to be in a commercial kitchen in order to produce any food that you're going to sell. There are some areas, like in Maryland, there's some cottage laws, but they're so scant that I don't think you can sell anything beyond $2,500 annually.
Oh, wow.
So I could be wrong about that, but I just remember reading this kind of information was going, well, you can't create a business out of that. That's
right.
A hobby.
Right.
We're creating a business. We got 6 months with them and just realized that we had tapped out on all the services that they provided, but we're still paying the premium. So we decided to look into additional kitchen spaces with some of our friends. And now we're working out of the facility on Rhode Island and 4th with Ben Lynn Catering, World Peace Kitchen, Fat Rabbit, and then formerly Thunder Beast Root Beer, which is still in D.C.
Nice. So how many blends do you offer?
Right now we offer 22. I will state, though, that I have about 20 to 30 additional recipes that I'm working on right now.
Now, the most interesting thing in looking at all of these are that these are salt-free blends.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
Yep.
So no salt, no fillers.
Does that mean no flavor? I'm smelling these, and it sounds like, or it smells like there's tons of flavor.
Yeah. So I will say that I got some of the Jamaican jerk blend that you graciously sampled out to me and tried it, and it is phenomenal.
Is it nice and spicy?
Yep. It's got real flavor, and it's I'm not necessarily the most eloquent person when it comes to descriptors. All I will say is it seems like the flavor was really deep. Like there's a depth of flavor that is missing from so many of the things that you get off the shelf at the grocery store, because most of what you get seems like it's all salt or fillers of some sort.
Exactly. And then you get a lot of blends out there that they use cheaper ingredients. We first started with, we wanted all non-GMO ingredients.
Okay.
And then we wanted to source them as much in the U.S. before looking outside. But there is a reason why they call it a spice trade. So we, for example, get our garlic from California, but things like turmeric are still coming in from places such as India. Now, with the Jamaican jerk, I will say, if you want to take a challenge today and taste it and figure out what you think of your own, go down to Old Engine 12 Firehouse on R and North Capitol Street. Mm-hmm. Chef Prime is using that on a pork chop, and he's using it on his jerked wings that he's serving with a mango mustard sauce.
Oh, sounds good.
Yeah.
Making me even hungrier.
So I'm looking at your list of blends on your website, which is districtspice.com for listeners. It looks like you've got groups of blends. Like you've got classic blends. You've got what you call the congressional lineup.
That sounds very DC. Yes. What's in the congressional lineup?
So we have a few fun things, such as our currying favor, our hand in the cookie jar, pork barrel.
Ah, this sounds right on time for election season.
Yeah. Yep, and our nice and naughty, which I like to jokingly call our Freudian blend, because you'll get people that come up and go, what's with the naughty and nice? Mm-hmm. I've also got what's with the nice and nasty, to which I responded, I'm married, thank you.
So what is that blend?
So the nice and naughty is a sweet and savory with a bit of a kick. It's really good on skin-on, bone-in chicken thighs. Last thing that we just did with it is put it on some fresh popped popcorn with a little bit of olive oil, so you make a really nice savory little snack for yourself. But we have a lot of vegetarians that buy it and swear by it by putting on their vegetables.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Let me see that here. Okay.
That would be...
I love the color.
We've been eating a lot of roasted green beans and asparagus. That would be good sprinkled on that before it goes in the oven to roast them up.
Or cauliflower. Grill them up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
So what about this gyro spice? Is that for... Did I see that somewhere? I mean, yes, I'm just curious what you would put, making a gyro, or how do you?
Yeah, and this gets to the point of our website. So we don't just throw spices at you and wish you the best of luck.
Right.
We give you a little bit of guidance.
How you.
On the website, for example, under the gyro, we have the recipe to make a 2-pound meatball with a texture and flavor that you would get out of a Greek restaurant. And that was what I was trying to achieve when I first made...
A 2-pound meatball. Yep. Wait, I just need to wrap my head around that. A 2-pound meatball. Okay, go ahead.
We'll wipe off the mic and then we'll continue on.
We're going to eat after this, right?
always.
Okay.
But you just make this 2-pound meatball, and I've had plenty of customers swear by it by following the instructions. It came out perfectly for them. And you just shave it off, and then you can use that to make a sandwich, to throw it on your salad. You could throw it on a pizza. So we're really trying to empower people to be a little bit more creative at home. I've had people that have taken that and made salad dressing with a little bit of olive oil, apple cider vinegar, and the seasoning. I've had people put it in their hummus. make a tzatziki soup out of it. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of opportunity by taking out all the salt, the filler, all the other junk that really the reason why companies put it in there is because they're using a cheap package, so they have to put anti-caking agent in it. Or they put in all these other fillers like salt because they're cheap and they're heavy. So they can tell you, oh, we're giving you all the seasoning, so we're going to charge you the premium price for it. But what you're doing is just paying for salt.
Right. So, again, looking at your website, you have a hand in the cookie jar.
Uh-huh.
So that is not necessarily a savory. That's a dessert spice.
Mm-hmm. But, again, you can still have some fun with it. Last Thanksgiving, I challenged myself on trying to make a savory dish with that. So what I did was I coined some carrots. I took the seasoning and I made a simple syrup with one part water, one part sugar, and the seasoning. And then I just poured a little bit on the carrots and tossed them, and then added a little bit of Szechuan peppercorn and a little bit of garlic and a sprig of rosemary, and then baked it.
Ooh.
So we had that as a side dish for Thanksgiving.
So this blend has got anise, nutmeg, cinnamon, and sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Yum.
It also, I was just smelling that one too. I smell something else other than that. That I do smell the sweet, but...
The anise?
Try the anise, because yeah. Most people don't really use anise all that much. And it's a really great spice, highly underutilized. So we're trying to give people a little bit more opportunity to incorporate these new and interesting spices, or even some traditional spices, into their diet. I like to point out with the Jamaican jerk, for example, we have the Scotch bonnet pepper in there, which not a lot of people see or use. It's a great pepper, same level of heat as habanero, but where habanero is more fruit kind of flavor, this is more syrupy kind of flavor.
And which one is that?
The Jamaican jerk with the Scotch bonnet pepper. And then the Montreal blend, we have dill seed in it, and that's what really takes that one home. It's just a great spice. Doesn't taste like dill wheat at all. Totally different flavor, but it's just very, very good. And it's one of those spices that, again, people love it, but they can't put their finger on it because it's not one that's commonly sold in stores.
So we're not going to be able to smell anything for days.
I know. So on your website, I haven't been on the website, but you give examples of what you can use mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. what.
So I've been looking at the label for the plove. Is that how you pronounce it?
P-L-O-V. Yes.
It is from Uzbekistan.
Mm-hmm.
Uzbekistan.
Say that five times fast. Uzbekistan.
Coriander, cumin, paprika, black pepper, tarragon, turmeric, and if you'll forgive me for reading, the national dish of Uzbekistan, plove mm-hmm. is a lamb and rice pilaf with an unlimited number of variants. Its flavor is very centered, neither spicy nor sweet. And it goes on. But my God, that looks, and it smells amazing. I can't smell that.
And we're always getting surprised by other people as to how they use some of our blends. That one we've used in our kitchen sink soup, where basically vegetables that are on the end of their life cycle, we puree them and make a stew. But there's eco-friendly foods. They do the Arlington Courthouse Farmers Market. He's started buying that in bulk from us, and he uses it as a rib rub. And I've never had ribs that tasted like that before. And it just, I never thought about using it as a rib rub, but it just marries perfectly to that. So it's, again, we have the full original recipe on there.
So you all have great ideas, and then you have customers coming to you with, hey, I tried this, and this
exactly.
was really great.
We've got a good friend up at Fort Meade, a soldier up there, who takes our Memphis barbecue. He takes two parts Memphis barbecue, one part sriracha, and a part of salt. And then he fries his wings and then tosses it just as a dry rub. And they're awesome.
So you still can use a little salt, because I am a salt lover.
Yes.
But I need to not be. So these smell like I wouldn't need to use as much salt.
You don't have to use much salt. Again, salt shouldn't be a predominant flavor in most of your cooking. It's a little bit helps to just bring out the natural flavors of your dish. And there's also not just one type of salt. That's the other thing that people, I think, are starting to become more and more cognizant of, is that there's things like pink Himalayan salt.
Black salt, which I love.
Exactly. And so you're you're getting the saltiness from that, but you're also getting a lot of minerals in it. So it's not all salt. So you're tricking your brain a little bit in thinking that you're getting all the salt content when you're really just getting like a quarter percent of it is a mineral.
And I think with the newer salts, you need less of it than the old iodine salt, I guess, that we grew up on. So this is nice. So on the Rhode Island Avenue row where you are, this mm-hmm. it's a production facility. So how do people find these wonderful spices?
Well, you can go on our website, districtspice.com. We do sell it online, and if you live within the Beltway, I deliver it myself. If you live outside, we ship it through the post office. But we also have a Finest feature on there. You can find some of the restaurants that are using it.
Oh, okay.
You can also find all the farmers markets that we're participating in. We have a calendar on there, so you can see exactly which date and which market. This Saturday, for example, we'll be at Columbia Heights near the Civic Center there. So there's a lot of opportunities that you can find this very easily through the website.
And you sell wholesale too, right? So you mentioned being at Fire Engine.
Old Engine 12 Firehouse. Old Engine 12
Firehouse, sorry. And so you have your products at a variety of restaurants.
Yeah, some of our biggest proponents have been the Old Engine 12 exec chef. Also, the chef Diego Fernandez up at the Marriott in College Park.
Nice.
So we're starting to get more and more wholesale. That's really been something that we drove this year, was to try and get our spices in the hands of chefs and just see what they do with it. I could say with Old Engine 12, he's using our creole in a steamer pot. But he's also taken us on the challenge of doing a Cajun Bloody Mary. So he has his house-made Bloody Mary sauce infused with our Creole seasoning. And then he offers a smoked vodka or a three-pepper vodka that they make in-house. So you can either be on fire or you can be smoky.
Okay, very nice.
Either way, you'll be awake.
Right.
Yes.
It's kind of nice, too, that you have an option out there where you can try some of these to see what they taste like. I mean, before you buy it or get ideas. So that's nice.
Yeah. So you're at farmers markets. You're mm-hmm. at the Rhode Island Row Farmers Market.
Correct.
And that's Thursday evenings from 4 p.m. till 7:30. That's at the Rhode Island Row Shopping Center and Metro Station. Mm-hmm. And that's so easy to get to as you're getting off the train. And lots of good produce there to pick out to go with your seasonings. And there's a fresh meats vendor there. So pick up your wings.
Pick up your dinner on the way home.
If you're a king who loves ice cream, Ruby Scoops is there.
Yes. Oh, believe me.
Kyle knows.
I know where all the ice cream is in D.C.
He's getting ready to put her potential child through college. Got it. Yes.
Her and Trickling Springs. Oh, my goodness. Anyway. You're also going to be at Fall Fest.
Yes, not only Fall Fest, but also the Procrastinators Market.
Yes.
Already? So are we talking about that already?
Well, yeah, you know, we got to do these things well in advance.
I know.
It may be procrastinators for the shoppers,
that's right.
But we're planning it early.
We're planning it early, okay.
We will definitely see you at one or, I hope, all of those venues. In the future.
Yes.
People want to find out more about this. Where are they going to track you down at?
So they can find us through the website at districtspice.com. They can also call us at 202-763-9631.
Thanks, Nate. I wish that we had Smell-O-Vision to go with the show here, because this is spectacular stuff. I think the studio is going to smell good for days.
Yes.
Driving with it in your truck all the time.
I bet. Thank you so much for joining us today, Nate. This has been great to chat with you, and we'll see you soon.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thanks.
All right. This wraps up another episode of Rhode Island Avenue Main Street. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. We will see you next week.
See ya.